Diego.
Hello.
I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Ryan.
I'm a little bit nervous, just so you know. Thank you, dude. My sobriety day is May 1st, 2011, and I accidentally got sober in jail. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and the people who laugh are probably the ones who can relate. I ended up getting sober because my thing was, you know, if I can't get loaded every day, why would I get loaded? That doesn't make any sense. If I can't stay loaded, why would I go through the ups and downs of, you know, that? I either want to stay loaded or I want to, like, learn how to live with myself for a little bit, you know. And I figured that I would, you know, get out and drink a bottle of Bacardi. The reason that's ironic is because the first time that I ever drank was when I was about 13 years old. I drank probably about 80% of a bottle of Bacardi, and I chased it with Oreos and cream ice cream. I ended up sleeping in the byproduct. And the first time I did a few more things weren't much worse. I do remember a specific incident where Cottonmouth was eating away at my face, but I won't go too far into that, as this was an AA meeting. Is an AA meeting. The 10-minute version of my story is pretty much, you know, I started getting loaded when I was 13. It didn't really work out very well for me, as I can imagine you're gathering. But I did experience, like, the ability to, like, avoid the thoughts that overwhelmed me. That whole thing that led to the 5-year-old little boy throwing fits and not knowing why. I was raised in a good family. My parents loved me with all their heart, and all this stuff was going on. I had no idea that my father, who would later die of cirrhosis of the liver, was an alcoholic when I was 5 years old. I had no idea. So I didn't know why I couldn't sleep. I didn't know why I was throwing fits. I mean, I was raised the right way, and my parents are wonderful. And I learned how to kind of, like, bury that in a bottle when I was 13, 14. And, you know, it was kind of recreational. I would, like, do this here, do that there, pop that, see weird colors, stuff like that. And, you know, I will say that my dad died when I was almost 18, and that was probably kind of an effort moment for me, you know? I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to stay loaded, right? And interestingly enough, I mean, my father was a good father, too. You know, he just had a drinking issue, and I didn't know that it wasn't a choice. I didn't really realize that it was like an allergy, and I didn't realize that, you know, we lose the power over choice in drink and all that stuff. So that happened, and I kind of decided to follow in his footsteps. My thing was, is if I'm supposed to die young, I'm supposed to die young. I didn't consciously think that, but that's how I acted. That's how I lived my life. The other thing was, is my grandfather ate steak and drank martinis until he was 80 and, like, really, really was gnarly, and he lived to be 80. So I kind of excused it with that. But later what happened was, is I was accused of something that was not true. And I was accused of other things that may or may not have been true simultaneously. And so I, of course, played the victim of this 1 out of 5 charges I was being accused of, I think. It wasn't true. And ironically, what ended up happening is 2 of the 4 officers were honest, and I got 8 months in the county instead of 7 years in the joint with a strike, which is what I was looking at. For 5 out of 8 months, I was looking at going into prison with a strike based on something that I didn't do. When it got dropped and I signed off on everything else, I found out that I was doing 3 more months. The security level that I was in would be lowered, and it would be lowered again later, and I kind of just chilled. And when I got out, I thought I was going to drink that bottle of Bacardi, right, of all things. And I probably wouldn't have eaten Oreos and cream ice cream again. But what I will tell you is that my probation officer effectively scared the living crap out of me. And he said, you are going to go back. You should not be out yet. I don't really know how you got out so soon, but I'm looking to put you back in if you mess up at all, and I know you're going to mess up, so do it already so I can catch you already, right? Like, you're not very supportive, dude, you know? And it's interesting. I could put that guy on my resume now, and he would probably stay anonymous as to my relationship with him and how it initiated. That's how tight we got before I got dropped from probation. But I kind of switched everything, you know what I mean? Like, I would call him. I'd be like, I found a screwdriver in the dirt, dude. You want to come check it out, or should I not put my fingerprints on it? What's up with it? And he's like, dude, you call too much. I'm like, I'd rather call too much and not get locked up than to call not enough, like the story that you hear about all these other people. And he's like, honestly, you're the only person like this. I'm like, good, I want to be the one that stays out, you know? And the first time I got arrested was the only time I've been arrested, and I was looking at that whole thing, and I didn't get loaded. And he told me, you know, he said, you're going to go to AA meetings, right? And I'm like, what's AA? Like I said, I didn't know what it was, you know, and my whole thing would be like, why didn't they save my dad, blah, 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 but I didn't know what it was. He's like, this is what it is, and you're going to go. You're going to go for me, then you're going to go to the DUI program, you're going to go for them, then you're going to be done with the DUI program, you're going to come back and keep going to AA for me, right? I'm also basically, the moral of the story is I'm going to AA meetings, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I come to meetings, and people are like, work the steps, and da-da-da. And it's interesting. I'm going to edit how I was, because I was gnarly. But I will say that old-timers would, like, say something to me, and I would say something way ruder back to them, right? And believe me, I shouldn't say it in a church. And is that 2 minutes, 1 minute? What's up with that? Oh, 5 minutes. I'm going too quick. Where was I? Yeah, so I came to AA meetings, and old timers would say, and I would basically be saying things, trying to, like, you know, offend certain religions and incentivize people to stop talking to me, right? And they'd be like, keep coming back. I'm like, you guys are some seriously sick, twisted people. What? It doesn't make any sense. Nobody listens to this response and then says, keep coming back. You guys are either mocking me or something weird is going on here, and I don't really appreciate it. And if I thought that was bad, they eventually started calling me Angry Ryan. And they were like good friends of mine. I held them high in regard, and, you know, they said, we're going to call you Angry Ryan until you work the steps. And then what's going to happen is we're going to stop calling you Angry Ryan regardless of what the byproduct is of working the steps. You can work the steps and not have a single result. We're still going to stop calling you Angry Ryan because at least you have an effing excuse. You finally did something about your problem instead of just da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, you guys are really not nice, you know? And none of them were afraid of anything that resulted from that or anything like that. So I ended up working the steps because I'm like, you guys need to shut your mouths, and I'm going to kind of help you stop calling me Angry Ryan by doing what you told me to do because I'm sick of you. So then I did that, and what happened was I accidentally got sober because I planned on getting loaded when I got out. And then I accidentally had life continually get better because I worked the steps based on a resentment that I had. And I did choose a sponsor who looked more angry than me, and he looked like somebody who, when I was going through my fifth step, he'd knock me out if he needed to, because I was kind of afraid of during the fifth step being like a loose cannon. I truly was. I was like afraid for the other person, right? And so I'm like, I'm gonna pick a guy. It was weird. My logic was super weird. And now I know that I'm getting vulnerable in front of 150 people. I probably don't look like a tough guy, but I was like a little different how I carried myself back then, and I wanted somebody who could very obviously take care of what needed to be taken care of in the event that I lost my you-know-what. And so I picked that guy. He ended up being a really good guy. He wasn't as angry as I thought he was, and da-da-da-da-da. He knew how to sound good in meetings is what it really came down to. And he knew how to appeal to the newcomer by cussing more than he even did in his personal life, which I kind of do today. And, you know, so I worked the steps with him, and I got sober. And when I was 2 years sober, somebody came up to me, and they said, how does it feel? And they said, how does what feel? They said, how does it feel to be sober for 2 years and your life still sucks? And that wasn't the last word of the sentence. And so I worked the steps again in another program regarding some outside issues. But what happened was is now I'm 5 years sober in AA, you know, I can tell you that my sobriety exists in this program. I do have other issues. I had a very substantial issue with things other than alcohol. There was probably four of them, including booze. And I was taught that I can kind of substitute words in the book. Not kind of, absolutely. Alcoholism for stoner, junkie, whatever it is. And I'm really good friends with some guys who were brought up in a different school of AA than I was. I was brought up in a school of AA where, you know, he told me, he said, you know, my sponsor told me to sit down, shut the F up, and listen, but he said, I won't tell you like that. I'm not going to tell you like that, because I know it's not going to work with you, he told me. But I do have friends who are my age who were brought up that way, and they're doing very well. They're sober, and we like to argue with each other. It's kind of fun. They say that I'm much more liberal in Alcoholics Anonymous than they are. And, you know, I appreciate that, and we can kind of, like, get each other centered, you know what I mean? Like, we can all become a little more teachable, and I can maybe, like, stop co-signing my own crap, and, you know, maybe they can quit being so uptight. You know, it's all good. And what I did find, I'll tell you, I'll end with this. I practice the whole triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do H&I. I sponsor people when they ask me to. I found H&I is kind of a loophole to sponsorship because sponsees are inconsistent. H&I is not. For those of you who caught that, maybe be mindful of that. You know, I do seek outside help because the book tells me to do so. So where necessary, I seek outside help. I adore my 2.5-year-old daughter. I'm able to be a father to her in the midst of a situation where she lives 10 hours away and her mom wants to get me however she can, wherever she can, and she tries to every time she gets the chance. You know, like they were just in San Diego for 11 days, and I got much less than the custody that I normally have. So I get to deal with that with grace. I get to be nice to the other person. I get to try to practice love and compassion and tolerance for the alcoholic who still suffers, right? And it's weird. I go through little, like, phases of pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, right? Or where I think that the other shoe is going to drop, or where I think that, like, I'm not doing well. And then I have periods where I'm kind of just, like, riding the wave, right? And I'm just asking God to help me be of service to the next guy and or the next girl and to do everything I can to help those who need my help and just show me what you would have me do, I ask. You know, the whole Step 11 thing. And I found that, like, thanks to Larry, in this example, as the human that God worked through, like, I got this opportunity to be of service. When I got here, as you've probably gathered, I'm not like, please let me be of service. And if you do, thank you so much for letting me be of service. Like, that absolutely didn't happen. I'm like, you know, how can I take care of myself? And I got to get through you to get to where I'm going. And everything has changed. I got to unlearn all of the stuff that I thought I knew when I got here. Where am I at? 1 minute. And that's it. No, I got to unlearn all the stuff that I came in here with, and I got to, like, acquire a new way of living, and I don't have insomnia, and I get to sleep at night, and I appreciate my life, and that's it. Thank you.